How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ladies of the LV, episode 16. It's been since November, which I guess is December, January, February, March, April.
5 months.
5 months. It's been a long time, and so I'm sorry. Assuming none of you were emotionally attached, I'm sure you're doing just fine, but just in case, let me know. I'll write you a card. I'm really excited to be back. I'm going to introduce you to our guest in just a minute. But we are actually sitting in the newly renovated Civic Theater of Allentown on 19th Street. Hopefully you've been here before. If not, now's a more exciting time than ever to come check out the space. We're actually in the lounge area that is attached. There's a full bar here. When you come see a show, get yourself a beverage. Enjoy a Friday night out supporting the local arts. And I will explain to you the reason why I'm here. But before we get there, I would like to introduce you to our guest, Kate Pistone.
Hi, Lehigh Valley. Thanks for having me.
That was my clap.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, good.
I know you have a wire around your
I know.
Neck, so it's
Hold
a
on.
Muted.
Let me try again. Woo! There we go. How are you feeling? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I am so excited.
All right.
I'm excited to just have a chance to chat with you.
We've been chatting a while.
We have been.
We had like a pre-interview, which was pretty much me asking all the questions that I wasn't sure I could ask on the air. But I'll probably ask
But
anyway.
You can, I mean, like I said, go for it.
You're an
my
open
friend.
Book.
I am.
Okay, so I always start a podcast with how I met the person. And so, Kate.
I was hoping we would go there.
Yes.
So go for
well,
it.
Wait.
What were you going to say?
Okay. I mean, now I'm nervous. I was just going to say we're in the show together, but I did meet you at a Christmas party.
You did. And I remember what you said your first impression, one of your first impressions of me was.
You did a fake punch?
I was super kicked in the face.
It was a joke.
Yes. No, it wasn't really kicked in the face.
No.
It was a wrestling move, which is like a choreography, really.
What?
It's just, I did a good job of selling the move.
You really did. The entire party stopped.
Yeah.
Because you fell to the floor. So what inspired that to happen?
Well, my boyfriend who was doing the kicking is a huge wrestling fan. And so I've been honing that skill.
Yeah.
Over time since I've known him, I was just telling you, almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
So
I was just sitting on this bench and I see this woman fall to the ground and I was alarmed, but also not.
It's a great party trick.
It was an incredible party trick. So that was really my first impression of you. But we are currently in a show together, which I really want you to sort of say what it is, what it's about, all of that.
Okay, so the show is Fun Home,
mm-hmm.
And it is a musical based on the graphic novel by Alison Bechdel,
mm-hmm.
which we actually have sitting right here. I have my copy, which you're going to borrow.
With lots of post-its. I won't take them out.
I actually was exposed to the graphic novel like close to the time that it came out,
mm-hmm.
and I fell in love with it at the time. It's just such a heartfelt story, and I think that the musical stays really true to the heart of the story. And I was a little skeptical, I have to say. Like, I kind of like was removed from the Broadway scene a little bit, and I heard that Fun Home was nominated for Tony Awards, and I'm like, wait a minute. They're not talking about like the same story as that graphic novel, because I don't know how that's gonna work. Because you know how sometimes things don't translate.
Well, they like, you know, they change it. Can you give a summary of what it's about?
So it's about, it's actually the graphic novelist's autobiography, sort of. It's a biography of her father, really. It's about their relationship. And her father committed suicide. I'm not really giving anything away. No. That's something that we learn very early in the play.
Yes. You just don't know how it gets there.
Right. But it has a lot to do with her sexuality and his sexuality and, you know, like, their relationship. And that's pretty much the...
What you want to give away.
Yeah.
Okay. So you sort of had your heart set on this musical from the moment you knew that it was coming out.
I did. Because like I said, I actually wasn't really familiar with the musical at that time. I knew that it existed. And I had seen, you know, what was on the Tony Awards and Ring of Keys. And I just, like, that moved me. But I loved the graphic novel so much that I just knew that it was something that I really wanted to do.
Yeah. So Fun Home is, this is the first time it's being done in the Lehigh Valley at Civic. Fun facts about it, I would say, one, it's a one-act show, no intermission. So
use the bathroom.
Use the bathroom.
Beforehand.
Get a drink. But also, like, sometimes if you go to see a show on a Friday night and, you know, you go for dinner and drinks beforehand and then you get to the show and you're, like, on an adrenaline high, act one, and you're loving it, and then act two rolls around and you're, like, starting to fade. You don't have to worry about that for this show.
It's the perfect length.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it really, like, and I'm so glad that we are opting not to shove an intermission in there somewhere, because it would kill the momentum, and it's such a beautiful journey.
There's no, like, this isn't the type of show where there's a blackout and a huge change. It's very fluid, and
I'm on stage, like,
the entire time.
The entire show.
We were just talking about that.
Which is yeah. a new challenge. I've never experienced that before. I've had some big roles, but this is one of the biggest,
I guess. This is huge. I mean, we're basically, for those of you who don't know, she's actually playing Alison Bechdel's role. So we're sort of seeing her life unfold through her lens. And we're following along with her as she's trying to remember. So she's on stage the entire time.
The musical is actually the story of her writing the graphic novel.
Right, so it's kind of meta.
Yeah.
So Kate also chopped off all of her hair for this role.
I did.
Was that even, like, an option? Were you just like, yeah, I'll do it? Like, you didn't even have to think about it?
No, I did have to think about it. And the thing was, like, the announcement was made about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wanted to play the role, and I knew that that was something that I was going to have to think about, because it's something that's critical to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you're playing a living person.
Yeah.
Because Alison Bechdel is alive and well, and you know what I mean? Like, I want to be as true to her soul and her story as I can be. And I think it sounds so silly to say that a haircut is that important, but I think in this case, it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily one of those roles that's fictional and can be interpreted differently, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think it was a wig an option, probably, but as an actress, I felt like compelled to do it. And at the same time, it's just hair.
Yeah.
And it will grow.
And you also rock a short cut.
Thank you. So I'm loving it, actually, in real life. So
Kate, and also the other cool thing about Fun Home is that there are three Allisons. So you see her when she's young, you see her when she's in college, and then you see her in current day, which is 43?
Yeah.
When the musical happens. Yep. And so Kate and the girl who's playing her medium college self, they both got their hair cut. And I noticed, like, this euphoric, like, you were really pumped when it happened.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see.
Yeah. And I'm glad that that was the case, because it was, I mean, and for those of you who don't know me, my hair was waist length. Like, I had very, very long hair. And I just, had that look for most of my life. So it was a very drastic change.
Yeah.
And it's really liberating, I have to say.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
You're still rocking it.
Thanks.
Okay, so Kate is originally from the Lehigh Valley.
Correct.
Born and raised, went to Parkland High School, then moved on to New York. Was it New York and then back, or was there were things in between?
Yeah, and I mean, like, I lived in places for, like, months at a time, but it was pretty much, I grew up in Allentown, lived in New York for 12 years, moved back here, and here we are.
Yeah. So, why is this a place that you feel like you're going to stay?
I'm not sure. It's funny. I feel at a crossroads right now. It's like, I like the fact that I have a really strong network here, and I feel very connected to the Lehigh Valley. It's close to Philadelphia. It's close to New York. But I'm kind of, like, open to whatever.
I feel like that's your answer to so many questions I ask you. You're like, I'm open-minded to it, but I don't really know.
I don't. I mean, it's tough as an artist. You know, we were talking about this, too. It's like, where do we belong? And I think that there is an arts culture in the Valley, but I don't know if this is, like, the place where I'm really going to, like, find my niche or not. We'll see. I'm still looking.
All right. Okay. So, circling back to Fun Home really quick, something that I haven't really asked you about is Fun Home is so based on sexuality that it's kind of one of those, I mean, so many shows are, but I feel like it's sort of the root of our show. Are there ways that you feel you connect to it in that way?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, tell me more.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about me and my sexuality,
That's
right?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So actually, my first relationship was with a woman.
Okay.
When I was in high school. And it was a secret at that time because I feel like the world has changed a lot. Like, I work at the Lehigh Valley Charter High School for the Arts. And, like, it's a place that's such a safe, open environment for kids to explore their sexuality and to, you know, to just be whoever they are in whatever way that means. And I just, being in a public school in the 90s, like, it was not the same.
No.
So I knew that I was feeling something genuine and I wanted to explore it, but I didn't feel safe being open about it.
Did you know it? Was it reciprocal? Like, did you know it was reciprocal?
Yes. And I think that was also her first experience with a woman. And so we came to figure it out together. So that, and I mean, gosh, well, I was a sophomore in high school, so.
16.
Yeah. So. At the time, and actually, she's coming to see the show.
Oh, she is?
She is.
Shout out to Secret Sophomore Lover. So, since then, have you always, like, do you identify as something, or do you just kind of?
So, I kind of felt like you might ask me that question, and I guess the term would be pansexual. I'm funny about labels. Just in general, but I guess if I had to choose one, that would probably be the most accurate.
And that's attracted to the person.
Right.
Which I think everyone should just be that.
I could not agree more because if you're, I mean, what,
it's
I
so
don't,
broad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I always say too, like, if you look at the people who I've been attracted to or have fallen in love with or been in relationships with, like any of those things, and you put them all in a room, you'd be like, what the hell do these people have in common? Like, I don't see the thread.
Yeah.
Like, I never really felt like I had a type. Specific type. I think there are maybe some common traits, but not really. I don't know. It's kind of a pretty wide net.
Well, I think that's a testament to you and what you see in them.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time that you felt like you needed to, like, explain that to your parents?
Well, like I said, that first relationship, I kept a secret, and they asked me questions.
Really?
And I felt like I had to lie about it. And I did lie about it. And I think it's one of those things that we don't really talk about openly. Mm-hmm. And then later on down the line, I mean, I haven't discussed like all of my relationships with my parents, but I was dating a woman when I was, it was like at the end of my time at conservatory, I was about 25. And I did come out and tell my mom about it over some drinks. And I was not met with a pleasant response. It was a really tough thing. So when Allison comes out in the story, like I really do relate to that. And I'm in a straight relationship right now, I guess, yeah. If we want to call it that. I am in a relationship with a man.
Yeah.
Right now. But I came out to my parents and they both had a really different reaction.
So and, you mean, was your dad, you talked to your dad?
My dad separately? Was not present.
Okay.
And he heard it through my mom. My dad and I don't like talk on the phone as often. Like we have a really special relationship, but you know, when I was living in New York, I didn't keep in touch with him as much, mm-hmm. but he wrote me a letter.
Oh, which is also very parallel to yeah. the story.
Yeah. And, my mom and I had a really uncomfortable time of it. Like she sort of disowned me over the phone. And we've worked through that and we have a good relationship now, but that was a really tough thing at the time and it was a very true thing at the time. And at the same time, my dad sent me this letter saying, you know, like, I love you and support you no matter what.
So and, he felt differently.
Yeah. And that was incredibly important to me because I was not feeling that from my mom.
So I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So you were having drinks with your mom in person. I'm imagining you're like having fun, giggling, feeling safe. You say this and then like, does it stop there? And she's like, let's not talk about it or.
No, it kind of like took a turn. Cause I can be a little aggressive about, you know, the way that I feel about things. And I felt like I was trying to stand up for myself and I was trying to force her into embracing that mm-hmm. right then.
Right.
I wasn't expecting to have the conversation right then. It just sort of organically came about over a couple bottles of wine.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then we had a couple more days together in the city. She was there for a visit. My grandmother was living in the city at the time. And I remember very distinctly having brunch with them the next day and how cold
she was.
My mom felt. And I don't, you know, I don't say that in a mean-spirited way. I just think she didn't know how to process that information. And it's also funny because I was always in the theater growing up. So like, you know, I had a lot of gay friends and like that was just part of, it was something that I felt was accepted in my household. And it was really interesting to learn that it was like, yeah, that's okay for some people, but it's not okay for you.
Yeah. Well, and also, I just think, I know this isn't the same thing at all, but sometimes I think to myself, like, we were, you know, brought up in generations where it's so widely accepted that I imagine if my kids came to me and said that they didn't support it, how, like, disturbed and uncomfortable I would be by that.
Yeah.
But then if that was, I mean, I think it's, in my opinion, very opposite because one is about love and tolerance and, you know, but.
But I think that the world has shifted for the better. I mean, obviously, not everywhere and it's a slow moving thing,
right.
But I can feel the difference.
Yeah. Are your parents coming to see this?
They are.
How do you think that will be?
I think they'll be fine. I think it's going to be okay, but I think it's going to be a little painful for my mom at least.
Yeah.
Because
it brings up a
And she knows how important this is to me, and I've said like how important this story is to me and how much I can relate to it, and they've not read the graphic novel. So they, like, they know generally what it's about, but I think there will definitely be moments that hit super close to home. And I don't know whether or not we're going to be able to talk about it. I'm comfortable performing and, like, knowing that they're going to be in the audience, and I think they're comfortable coming to support me and inviting friends and all of that, but, like, can we sit and talk about it over a cup of coffee? Question mark. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. Shit. All right. Well, I don't even know how to segue out of that one. I mean, thank you.
I know. That's some heavy shit, right?
No, but thank you for being so open about it, because honestly, I think a lot of people...
Well, it's really important to me. And, you know, it's interesting how we all... we're so complicated as human beings, right? And I feel like that part of me has kind of been a little bit dormant for the past several years. And it's kind of resurfaced a little bit because of my work environment. Mm-hmm. But now, like, having this opportunity and getting to, like, embrace this really, like, butch person is so fun, because a lot of it, it's not just like, oh, I'm acting like this other person, which I am, but it's also like tapping into my own truth.
Yeah.
And connecting that. And it's interesting.
Yeah. It's like knocking on a door that you didn't even realize there was like a person behind. And then you're like, oh shit, you've been living here.
She's still there.
She's living
like,
there.
She is.
She has a home. She's got a flat screen TV. She is in there. Okay. So, wow. I genuinely, like, normally I'm like, oh, here's where I'll go. And right now I have no idea. I'm actually thinking that there are two questions I ask my badass ladies at the end of every interview. And I feel like they'll be kind of like great stepping stones for us. But one is, what is something you love the most about yourself?
Oh, wow.
People hate it.
No, you know, I think it's a blessing and a curse. I tend to see the best in people. And I think mostly that's a really great thing. Mm-hmm. And it allows me to, I think that's kind of like going back to what I said before about like people that I've fallen in love with. It's like, I am open to seeing the best qualities in just about anybody, which I think is I wish more of us were able to do that. And I think the people, many of the people who I keep in my closer circles have that ability, but like, I know that that's just true of who I am. It always has been. So that's something I like about myself.
I love that. I love that answer a lot.
Thanks.
Also, this is not a question I normally ask people, but just for anyone who's listening who has struggled with their sexuality or wondered or felt like they needed to keep things a secret or whatever it might be, what advice would you give to them?
I mean, I'm always here for you. I can say that. I don't know if that's helpful. That's a tough one, because, like, it's not a safe thing for everybody. Mm-mm. And the world is, it's still, unfortunately, not a safe place. But I would encourage people, I guess, to tap into their own truth and to find places where that are safe. So even if it's like maybe your family or like your colleagues or your classmates or whoever, maybe that's not a safe environment for you, but like they are out there. So I encourage you to tap into your own truth and like be drawn to the places where that does exist. Like Bradbury Sullivan is a great example. Like, we're having our talk back on the 4th.
May 4th.
Which is going to be a really cool thing.
Can we tell them the promo code?
Yeah, the promo code is PRIDE.
P-R-I-D-E.
You get $5 off if you come on Saturday, May 4th, and then join us for the talk back.
Hell yeah. I'm excited for that. I also personally think, too, that the anticipation of feeling like you need to coin yourself or tell someone, especially your parents, is far worse than the actual event. And maybe that's not true for everyone, but I just feel like the longer you wait to be open and honest about who you are, the more anxious you feel.
And labels, right? Like, we were talking about labels.
Yeah.
You don't need, and they actually, that's like some of the lines in the play are about this. Like, just because you feel something and want to be true to that feeling doesn't necessarily mean that you need to label yourself anything. Mm-mm. And I think it's okay to explore. And I think we're always evolving. And you don't necessarily know, you don't know
what's going to happen,
who you're going to meet or what's going to happen or where your life's going to take you. And if you're really like being genuine and, you know, that could mean so many different things. So I think being open to anything.
Be open. That's your mantra, I feel.
I think it is.
Yeah. Maybe you're learning this. Okay, so my final question, even though I feel like I have so many for you, but it's okay. I'm going to like write them down and just like ask you one a night because I'm going to see you every night.
It's okay because we're going to like have a real friendship now and I'm...
It's real.
Yeah. I mean, it already is, but it's only going to grow from here.
I love it. Finish the sentence, if women ruled the world, blank.
Ooh.
Your whole body just like changed
positions. Yes. I have to clutch the ledge that I'm sitting on. If women ruled the world, man.
It's tough.
And isn't it crazy that we have to put an if?
I know.
That's actually like where that took me. I'm just like, yeah, but like, but we don't.
But we should.
But we should.
Yes.
I mean, maybe that whole sensibility that I'm talking about could be more of a possibility. Which is not to say that men aren't capable of that. I absolutely think they are. Mm-hmm. But I think that if more importance were placed on emotional truth, which I think many women are like more in tune with that, that would help men. Like, I'm thinking about my boyfriend now too. He struggles with this. And I know that I help him with it. And it's like, If that were prioritized, then more people could tap into that and be like living their emotional truth. And then maybe we could be kinder to one another.
I mean, that would be a great start. I also just think a lot of the best men I know, and I hate to like generalize.
Right. That's me like, too, but.
The best dudes are like the blue collared, like not in positions of power. Like, I'm just thinking of like my favorite guys in life and they're like working really hard and, you know, just getting by.
But it's also, it's funny, like there are more men in powerful positions than women at this time, but there's something funny that happens with power that has nothing to do with gender.
That's true. That's very true. Like, who's to say if roles were reversed, men wouldn't be feeling the same way about women.
And I think sometimes, this is not true of all powerful women, but when I see women in powerful positions, they feel like they need to protect that and like just like own it so hard that they form this really, really, really tough exterior because they feel like they have to. And maybe they do have to still.
They might. They probably do.
I say they, but let's say we.
Well, yeah, we. I mean, I'm like literally thinking of like five women I know.
Because we are powerful women. I mean, I'm not like running some big corporation or something, but I feel like you and I are doing amazing, powerful things.
Just wondering like when the next time I need to fill my gas tank is, you know? That's where I'm at. But that's power. I can fill it on my own, damn it.
But we move people.
Listen, the whole goal and purpose of Ladies of the LV is to meet people who have inspiring stories, who can be real, who hopefully can like make someone else feel that they're not alone, and just connect and hopefully make people realize like you're surrounded by so many badass people. And I feel like you've just given me like all of those things.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Kate, yeah, and Sam. I can't wait to go back and listen to your other episodes because I didn't know about this until recently. And it's like, it's a really cool thing that you're doing.
Can I tell people to follow you on things?
Yeah.
It would be awkward if you said no now. search for Kate Pistone on Instagram. She has like a secret handle, but if you follow me, you'll find her.
I changed it today. So you, if you search my name, it actually pops up. But yeah, Sweet. I'm Olive Hattie.
Olive Hattie.
The women that I'm named after, my mom took their middle names, Catherine and Marie.
Oh.
But their actual first names were Hattie and Olive.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so look her up. Come see Fun Home. She's incredible. She's so into this story. I'm honored to be in it with you. And thank you for being episode 16.
Me too. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
I will see you next week. I'm going to have one of my besties on the show, and I can't wait.
On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcasts and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.